Sing along if you know the words.
Got a catchy beat.
It's very good. It's Wednesday, August the 7th, 2024. It's the Fakeologist Show. We're here with Fake Nukes Phil, and he wants to tell you that it is a...
It's a beautiful world.
A beautiful world.
Just like Devo says.
It's a beautiful world we live in. It is a good song, actually. It's a song I never knew about.
Yeah, it's an oldie but a goodie.
And I know Devo, which I'm kind of surprised, because when I got Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio, they had a channel called New Wave. And I never was into New Wave in the 80s, but I was bored of rock and roll, because that's all I listened to, 70s and 80s rock and roll. So yeah. I just left it on the New Wave channel just because you get tired of listening to the same Who song 500 times. And I actually started getting into a lot of the new waves, like Depeche Mode and Devo. And otherwise, I would have never paid any attention to them. So it was more just something else to listen to. But this track never came out, came up. There are lots of Devo songs.
Yo, it's a hidden gem. You know, it's a diamond in the rough.
What are all the Devo songs?
It's a great one. And, you know, everything in the world is the same as your neighborhood. Whatever's happening in your neighborhood is the same thing that's happening around the world. The only time that things get all chaotic and distressful is when you turn on your electronic screen. Then all of a sudden you think you live in a dangerous world. And it's, but no, it's the same worldwide as it is in your neighborhood. It's just...
Yeah, things are pretty damn good. And I started to play. I just left your channel on autoplay. I think on BitChute you can leave a channel on autoplay. So it sort of goes through all your videos in one shot. So you don't have to keep pressing play, because you put up 5 or 10 videos a day. And boy, you put up a really good one about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I grabbed that for FakeoTube. I'll put it right here. What's it called? I don't know who did it, though.
I stole it.
Do you know where you got it from, though?
I think Ben Crenshaw, but he stole it, too.
Yeah, Ben Crenshaw is just another...
Republisher.
A republisher, and he puts tons of stuff up there. But wonder where he got it, because this was really, really, really good.
Yeah. It basically talks about how... It's more than likely that a fleet of B-29 bombers just firebombed Hiroshima, just like they firebombed 65 other Japanese cities. They just did it the same way, and they just told the newspapers that it was an atomic bomb.
And by the way, this is the week. This is the nuclear Nagasaki Hiroshima week. I kind of forgot about it. Why isn't it on the calendar so we can celebrate? It's not on the calendar, so it's hard.
August 6th.
You know what? I know what the Fakeologist needs to do. I need to publish a PSYOP calendar. Do you think the calendar services would print that up?
If you stay off YouTube, they would.
No, but you know how you can make your own calendar? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that, because I bet you there's a PSYOP every single day of the year.
Yeah, it'd be 365 days of PSYOPs, and we'll have to be celebrating the anniversaries like each day.
And we could pick the biggest one of the month and make it the picture for the month. I would buy that calendar. Just put it up on your wall.
That's a good one.
Yeah, if someone wants to steal it and just send me a donation... for all the profits you make, you can do that too. But I gotta look into that, actually. That's
a great idea.
That is a great idea. Because I started a database way back in the day when you could share a spreadsheet online, and I was just filling in the PSYOPs because there's so many. And then I was keeping a spreadsheet in real time, so anytime there was a new PSYOP, I put an entry, and I left it as an open database. But unfortunately, when you do that, people wreck it. They just start spray painting it like graffiti. They just wrecked it. But it was an idea at the time. I just didn't feel like maintaining it myself, so I made it open. But Mike D, it is going to be an amazing show. It's always an amazing show.
You know,
and the phone lines are open, by the way.
My phone lines are open.
And one thing Jim said on his own, Jim Rizzoli, he's not here tonight. I don't know if he's coming or not. And he said he likes talk shows if they have good callers. And I think I agree with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although
yeah.
Phil has a lot of stuff. He has a lot of material to get there. You don't really.
Yeah, we get good callers here.
We don't need callers when you're on because you got a lot of stuff. So that's why you come back every week because there's just you get behind on the Phil channel if you don't check in every week.
Yeah, it's been a slow week. I just kind of did the usual Gaza stuff. We got a crisis actor for the Southport stabbing, and so I posted her. But she's not an obvious crisis actor, so, you know, it's not a Sandy Hook level a crisis actor, you know, one that. But it is a, well, we know it's an invented identity, so it's this 10-year-old girl is putting on a fake cry, and this girl here is talking about, she doesn't know, none of these people personally know anyone that was in this stabbing, right? They're doing this interview at this vigil, and then they interview this one 10-year-old girl who actually knows the B.B. King, the one girl that was stabbed, and she does a little fake cry here. And they're training these 10-year-old girls to do fake cries, and it's and the mother here is to blame. And
well, who does she work for that she would sacrifice her daughter for this nonsense? I wonder.
Yeah, well,
she must work for a PR agency. You know, there was a girl that went missing in Toronto 25 years ago, and this is before I was awake, and so I went and looked into the case. As a matter of fact, I'll throw out the name to you, because I like you. You'll grab it like a dog to a bone, probably.
Okay.
Because one thing about PSYOPs, they always use themes around the world. So, for instance, this will be the missing teenager month, and it'll go all around to the different Five Eyes nations, and they'll all do a missing teen, because I think they share the script. Then they all change it up. Anyway, her name was Allison Perot, and she went missing in downtown Toronto. She was about 12 years old, and she was allowed to go on the subway herself. And I don't have a problem with that personally. In the old days, young people used to be able to move around without being scared because nothing happens, as you said. Anyway, she was allegedly kidnapped and raped and murdered, and then there was a whole trial. And I thought, man, you know, her mother, who was always in the news, I thought, man, she's pretty good with the media. So turns out she worked for an advertising agency or PR. So, yeah, I think they pick people in the media, because we know with 9/11, it was really the media that made the event happen.
Yeah.
Without the media and the complicity, there would have been nothing.
Hmm.
And so they pick these people. And they asked them probably to lend a fake daughter or a fake son and do an acting job. And anyway, the name was Allison Perot, Peter Parrot, actually. So if you want to look into it, I think I did something on fakeologist.com on that back in the day, because I just started looking into old things. So I'll give it to you. I'll give it to Phil, and maybe...
we'll probably pick up, they probably have some old videos on YouTube that have to do with the case, and we'll probably be able to find a crisis actor within the first 4 minutes of looking through the videos.
Well, probably the mother. Oh, they made a movie too. That's another thing. There's they always do a movie.
A movie about the movie.
It makes it real, you see.
Yeah.
And it was all about DNA and how DNA can solve any kind of crime. And I don't know what you think about DNA, but I think DNA is fake. There's no such thing as DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But there are digital blood tests that can make markers. But for instance, if I had your DNA in an FBI database and I found some blood anywhere in the world, there's no way. It's not possible to take the blood, put it in the database, and pop and up pops your name and address. That is a total hoax.
Yeah, I've had suspicions about that myself. Yeah, it's
not, but that is what they were pushing back in the day.
Yes.
And this is 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that was part of it. Like literally they said they extracted some semen out of her vagina, plugged it into the computer, and bingo, up popped this guy they already had in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that. Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
We don't have digital calling cards that we can just literally, like a fingerprint, leave behind in underwear or on the toilet seat or any of that. It just doesn't work that way. Anyway.
Yeah. It's another, probably another whopper.
So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And that'll be episode, what are we on? This is episode 928 with Fake News Phil. And I leave the show notes going in real time. So you can leave a comment on today's show before it's even up if you want. Anyway, so that's for you, Phil. I'll toss it your way. I know you have a long list of psyops to examine all the time.
Yeah, sometimes I go back in time. And yeah, I like to go back in time and look at other things, events in history. And once you know how the trick is done and the methods they use, well, then heck, you can go back in time and you can break down all these historical events and even modern events. And it's quite fascinating. I find real life to be more fascinating than Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't entertain me anymore. I hate Hollywood. But I realize that real life is actually Hollywood also. So I like to break those down. And
yeah, so-called real life and news is actually done by the same people that do the movies. As a matter of fact, I bet you that's how guys break their or get their training. And when they do really well, they're probably allowed to make a movie.
Oh, sure.
As a reward, and then they get famous and big because... I've watched a lot of movies and I wonder how is he allowed to make a movie? Cause this is not good.
Yeah.
But I think it's a reward system as well. Now this is I think I've seen this before regarding Hiroshima. So the bottom line is all the bombing in Japan was just plain old firebombing or whatever the bombs of the day were.
Yeah.
And this guy really broke it down beautifully. He found the missing planes that probably did Nagasaki and Hiroshima because they weren't in the book of bombings. And he did some easy math. And he said it all adds up that, okay, this city had too many bombers. But if you take away the extra bombers, it fits that they went over 40 miles down the sky and bombed this Hiroshima Nagasaki. It all fits. It's almost like they leave the clues there for you to solve some basic math.
Just nobody ever does the basic math. Yeah, nobody just does a little bit of research into it. We just believe what the media tells us. But the whole story never made sense anyway. We were devastating entire cities with the technology we had. We were leveling entire countries with napalm and phosphorus and incendiary bombs. It's like there was no reason for us to spend what at the time was billions of dollars. If we were told the Manhattan Project, you know, costed billions of dollars in 1940 money. But and so to do allow such so many resources to the man, it didn't make sense because it's like we were already freaking burning every city we wanted to burn. And it didn't make sense. And the Manhattan Project was a fraud. And you look at the characters in the Manhattan Project and you realize it's the usual cast of characters. It's the people said that Oppenheimer couldn't run a lemonade stand. That's what there was a book written about.
Did you watch the movie?
No, it was. I think it was 2 hours.
It was almost three. I went to see it. So.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
It was a long one.
I was just about to fall asleep, and then they made some really loud noises in the theater, and it kind of jarred me. So, really get to see any convincing bombs. I was looking for some great special effects, but the noisiest thing was when the group down in Los Alamos was in this makeshift theater that they built, and they were all pounding on the wooden floor in admiration for this guy. So that was the loudest part. So Wow. Because I think the bomb they actually made silent, as in so deafening that it wasn't it was not a good movie, though.
So they built a theater there in Los Alamos.
Well, yeah, they built a whole town there around this thing. They built, I guess, a movie, basically a movie town where they brought in people and they brought in all the so-called scientists, even not Nazi scientists and whatnot, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the only guys, of course, they said that had the technology, which is all crap. And then they brought the Russian scientists. I can't really remember, honestly, but that was part of the controversy. And they built a place in Los Alamos in the desert because allegedly Oppenheimer liked horses and running around on ranches. I can't remember. It's just such a boring story. But yeah, that's where they said they did the testing and whatnot. So
yeah, they did one test, the Trinity test out there in Los Alamos. And there's no glass. The dirt didn't get turned to glass. The Oppenheimer was there 2 weeks later in his street clothes inspecting the site. And so there's nobody was afraid of nuclear fallout or any kind of radioactive fallout. And as we've discovered, there is no fallout in any of these sites. And,
well, you've done your own testing too. You brought
I'm next door to Nevada, and that one Japanese guy made that 7-minute video where he mapped out all the nuclear detonations for the past 50 years, and it's a really good video, and it's very eye opening. And when you see it, you notice that Nevada has been blown to smithereens. It's by far the most radiated place on the planet.
Oh. Is that because it's a lot of it's federal land? So they.
Yeah, I don't know why.
There's a lot of federal land where you can't go, I believe.
Yeah. It's like Area 51. You know, the proving grounds was like one ridge line away from the actual base. And so the people working at the base were not afraid of any kind of nuclear fallout at all. The reason why they won't let you go to Area 51 is because they don't want you to take your Geiger counter and see that there's no radioactive fallout at all there. You know, there should be tons of it.
And we can buy a Geiger counter on Amazon?
Yeah, I got mine off eBay for about $100. And right. I made sure that I bought a brand new one so that people couldn't ding me and say, hey, your Geiger counter isn't calibrated right. I said, well, it's brand new out of the box. It's calibrated, okay? And it's designed to... the selling point on my Geiger counter was that it's designed to alarm you if you're going into a dangerous area. And so, okay, well, that's perfect. I want to be alarmed if Nevada is dangerous. And of course it wasn't. I went back and looked at the old videos from the 1950s of the mushroom clouds that were seen over Las Vegas, because people used to set up their lounge chairs and supposedly watch a nuclear explosion. But if you look at them, they're very small, unimpressive mushroom clouds. You know, dynamite can create a mushroom cloud also. And so what you're looking at is just dynamite mushroom clouds. So people would go out in Las Vegas, they would see a dynamite mushroom cloud, and they would go home and they'd spread the rumor that, oh, I saw a nuke today. And that's how they even sold tickets outside of Las Vegas to go and actually see a nuke. And it was out there in the desert. And I also saw those photographs, and it was the same thing, just small, unimpressive mushroom clouds that were caused by dynamite. The fire breathing, you know, the flaming mushroom clouds, those are the only seen on TV. Like the movie Atomic Cafe.
Right.
So the ones you see in real life are just small gray TNT mushroom clouds. So that's how they accomplished the hoax. And there's a lot of Navy people or sailors that came back and said that they saw a nuke while they were on duty on some ship or something. But what you saw was a small cloud of smoke coming up from TNT. And your job was to spread the rumor that you saw a nuke while you're deployed on your mission or whatever.
And this guy broke it down in this video. He made some really good points.
Yeah.
Including this part of the video. I'm not playing the audio right now.
Uh-huh.
But this was really good where he was just explaining and relating it to COVID. So whoever did this video, I think, just did it a couple probably yesterday, because he has COVID in the COVID hoax as well.
Yeah.
If you can figure out who'd made this video, I'll play his voice.
He's the Harley guy for the nuclear bomb hoax.
Oh, yeah.
I was in my room, which faces the valet, and suddenly I...
The, by the way, this is a Jesuit for all those. Yes. I know you're big on the Jews doing it, but the Jezzies are.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of
as well.
Oh yeah, there's a whole Catholic bunch of Catholic characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, lots of Catholics. All right, and I think the Jesuits were big in Hiroshima as a place as well for their monastery, yeah. Whatever it is, wherever it is they hang out.
Yeah.
But this guy was the Harley guy. Now the Harley guy is famous from 9/11, of course.
Yeah.
So this is the guy that tells you exactly what happened from his vantage point.
Yeah.
Light, like magnesium light, flashlight, which filled the whole valley. And looking out of my window to find out the reason for this peculiar phenomena, I saw nothing besides this light. And turning...
Sounds like a German guy, actually, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, nothing against Germans, but just saying. All these guys are up to their eyeballs in hoaxery. So, yeah, basically, he's just explaining what he saw. It was the big bomb, but it's really just bombing or whatever. Fuel bombs, basically.
He's telling the Whopper. It was another fire bombing that we did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The damage is identical. Oh, and the injuries that we saw. They released a few photographs of the injured civilians from Hiroshima, and they did that because they wanted to traumatize the world as to what their atomic bomb could do. But I'm here to tell you that there were thousands more photographs like that throughout Japan, because we were dropping phosphorus napalm on women and children throughout Japan, but we couldn't show all those photographs to the American public, because if we would have seen the whole deluge of all these women and children with melted skin, the public would have said, "Hey, what are we doing over there? How come we're killing all these civilians?" So the military had to make sure that they filtered most of those photographs out, but they let just a few go, the ones from Hiroshima, because they wanted to traumatize us about how horrible their new weapon was. And the same thing with Germany. There are thousands more photographs of dead women and children from Germany, but we filtered most of those out. A few hundred survived from Dresden and Hamburg and Cologne and Berlin.
Yeah, but in this video, the numbers that they give of deaths are very, very low. We're talking hundreds in different areas. So I'm kind of on the other side of the fence. I think they evacuated, and they even said in this video, they leafleted the areas to get people out before they bombed it. So I'm kind of I'm on the other side. I think that they evacuated these places like they always do before they bomb them to smithereens. I just don't think even the U.S. I don't think they kill people en masse.
Yeah,
which is kind of good news. This is a good news broadcast. I'm here to tell you, I think the numbers, the hundreds of thousands, is just complete BS propaganda.
Yeah, well,
but you're the other way on it, I guess.
Well, yeah, the numbers are in question, but here's the deal. Japan and Germany are the only ones who can show actual photographs of injured and dead civilians, and the numbers, they don't add up to hundreds of thousands in these photographs, that's the thing. The Allies can't come up with any photographs of any injured civilians. The English should have injured civilians from the Blitz, from the London bombings, but the English don't supply us with any photographs of any injured civilians. The Americans should have some injured civilians from Pearl Harbor, but no, there's not. You go on the internet, you'll find five photographs, and they're all staged, and certainly not to the level. They certainly don't rise to the level of what we see from Dresden or Hiroshima. Where the people have these horrific injuries with melted skin and charred bodies, and
Ed Kiley says he put a link to a video called "The Geiger Counter and the Nuke Hoax." Well, where's the link? I don't see it. Mm-hmm. If you want to put it somewhere where I can click on it, go to shortfake.com/chat. Anyone can go in there. You can be anonymous. You don't have to sign up. That's the fastest chat I've got going right now. Shortfake.com/chat. You don't have to join. Just punch in any link right there. I'll put a link to it in the YouTube, because most people here on YouTube and Twitter and DLive, but go to shortfake.com/chat and leave that link, Ed Kiley, because I'd like to look at that. Because I agree, the Geiger counter, I don't know what it's counting.
Yeah, I agree also, but that is the method. You see, I wanted to shove that in their face too, because when I went out to Nevada and took my readings, yeah, I knew I was going to get people that would say, "Hey, Geiger counters are fake too." But I say, but this is what they give us to measure it with, and so yeah, it probably is fake, but I'm here to show you that their fake Geiger counter is picking up no radiation. That's basically what my trip to Nevada was, you know, was to show you that the tool they give us to measure it with, it was not reading anything. And I went to the downwind side of the area, you know, I went to the eastern side of the border of the closed off military base.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get the downwind, you know, the side that was had most of the nuclear fallout falling for all those years. I guess they stopped in 92. They stopped detonating, doing tests out there in 92. But so for all these years, we should have fallout falling all throughout, you know, up to St. George, Utah and stuff, you know, that side. And oh, and so I found the video on YouTube of the residents of St. George, and they were telling whoppers, because they were saying all the times that they would get warnings of the fallout coming from all the testing they were doing in Nevada.
St. George, Nevada, that's a town?
And St. George, Utah.
Oh, St. George, Utah.
Yeah, it's right there at the border of Utah and Nevada. And they would get warnings from time to time that a radiation cloud was coming their way because they had just done some testing in Nevada. And if you look at the cast of characters that were on this show, they're just a bunch of actors, and they were pretending, they were just lying. And so it was another Sandy Hook thing. And so, yeah, they never evacuated anybody from Nevada when they were doing 900 tests there in Nevada. I mean, that's just overwhelmingly the most radiated place on the planet is Nevada. And why would they do it right there in the middle of the United States? You know, it's just ludicrous. And, no, they never evacuated anybody, and because people have gone to Chernobyl and have taken readings. There's no radiation. It's teeming with wildlife. It's got all the plants it's just grown over with plants and stuff. We were told, I remember when that happened back in 86, we were told that this was the wormwood. This was the revelation event. You know, this was going to be the end of the world. It was going to wipe out Europe because of the winds or something.
Have you looked into Chernobyl? Have you done that one? Did you do a video on that? Because I agree with you there.
No, there's some guys on YouTube, and I need to find that video. But he did a Geiger counter reading at Chernobyl and showed that it was safe. And
well, of course,
you can see with your own eyes that it's safe because the plant life is overgrown. And also 3 Mile Island, I remember when that happened. I think, what was that, 1979? You know, that happened right before that movie China Syndrome came out.
Yeah, it was all tied in together beautifully.
Yeah. And in the 3 Mile Island,
Hollywood coordinating with the media, yes, the news of the day. Imagine that.
Yeah, the China Syndrome goes on this premise. If you have a meltdown at one of these nuclear sites, the core is going to get so hot that it's just going to continue to burn through the earth, and right, just burn, and nothing will stop it until it goes all the way through to the other side, and it's going to pop out in China.
Well, I never heard that, but it's an out of control.
Yeah, that's why they called the movie China Syndrome, is because
right. Oh, is that right? I missed that part of it.
Yeah, because the core was going to continue burning until it popped out in China.
Now this is where they built what's called the sarcophagus.
Yeah,
over Chernobyl. You know, this would be a great concert hall.
That's right. Yeah, because the acoustics must be awesome there.
Yeah, well, it's so big, you can fit all kinds of people in there.
Yeah.
Chernobyl, what is the cost of lies? So they're right in your face, even though they're talking about the government.
Yeah, you know, they've used Chernobyl during this fake war in Ukraine. The Russians went and reconquered Chernobyl. And, well, wait a minute, aren't you afraid? We were told that the Chernobyl was going to have a new sarcophagus built every 30 years. You know, they're going to have to rebuild the concrete, you know, tomb.
Oh, right.
But of course, that's never happened. It's all just deteriorated. Nobody cares. There's no money going into it. And then the Russians and the Ukrainians had a little battle there at Chernobyl. It's like, well, wait a minute. Aren't you afraid of the fallout? It's like, it's just, everybody's just moved on. They know that we have such a short memory. They just know that. I mean, at the time,
have you seen the Chernobyl movie, the miniseries?
No.
Chernobyl. Wow, there's so much material on this. Chernobyl, yeah. Abyss. There's many movies on this. This is just, this should be right up your alley because you are Fake Nukes Phil, of course.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, well, look at that. You know, that there's nothing wrong with that place.
This was a whopper. Hold on. We got a new caller in there that I've never seen before. Let's see what this guy is.
Hold time.
Maybe it's Miles.
1 minute.
Yeah.
20 seconds.
Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? And what's your name, please? And turn down your...
Do I have to mute this?
Yeah, you got to mute the live stream. Otherwise, you'll be really confused. Just like the old days. Caller, turn down your radio.
Okay. Fakeologist.
How you doing?
Well, I was just listening to you talking about Hiroshima and the nukes. Oh, my name's Gordon. I'm in Northern Illinois.
Thank you, Gordon, for calling, Gordon.
And so anyway, I don't know if I should change the subject to ask Phil something.
Go ahead.
His video about Miles Mathis. I was watching it today. And anyway, I used to listen to Miles Mathis like 10, 12 years ago.
You mean read him?
And he's
pardon? He's not on the radio, is he?
No, on the internet. That's when I first heard him.
Yeah, but he writes. He doesn't talk, I believe.
Well, I read his stuff. I was reading his work anyway when I first, you know, after I retired like 12 years ago.
Okay.
Anyway, he said that Bucky Fuller was so dumb that he couldn't pass high school math, so I kind of canceled him after that. Anyway.
Who's Bucky Fullerton? Is that somebody? I don't know that name.
You don't know Bucky Fuller?
No. Do you, Phil?
No, I don't. I can't recall that name.
No idea, my brother. Who are we talking about?
Well, he's kind of a genius.
Okay.
Anyway, I've been like a student or a disciple of his work. He created a new mathematics, the geodesic dome.
Okay.
I think there's one in Montreal he built.
Okay. Well, what's
anyway? He wrote a ton of books, and I just was inspired by him. So he kind of answers questions about Einstein and stuff.
Okay, and Miles Mathis calls him out as a fraud?
Well, he said he was so dumb he couldn't pass high school math.
Okay.
Oh, because Miles is defending Einstein. Did Bucky used to criticize...
I figured he was a CIA prop or something who was... Because Bucky Fuller's math, I mean, if you looked at my YouTube channel, you see the kind of math I do. I've been studying it for 40, 50 years, so...
Okay, are you a math guy? A math geek?
I'm the self-taught Bucky Fuller math, but you know, I got a degree in physiology in college.
Okay.
So I'd study physics and
Pauly Galtieri says Buckminster Fuller. Is that like a Rain Man type of character or what?
I've never heard of. Yeah, this is the first time I've heard of
him. Know about him.
Okay.
They don't want you to know about him.
Okay. Okay. But
is there any fake?
You read his book, Synergetics. He just, you know, there's so much to talk about. But anyway, basically, he used the tetrahedron is the unit of measurement in our high school, and our school system uses the cube. And the two systems are, you know, irrational to each other. So,
okay.
Anyway, if you don't know about Bucky Fuller, it's hard to explain.
Well, here's his Wikipedia page, so I'll have to just, I'll put it in the show notes and see if anyone wants to take a look at it.
Was he complimentary or was he critical of Einstein?
Well, in the mid-1930s, he wrote a book, Nine Chains to the Moon, and he sent it in to get it published. The publisher said, "You don't understand Einstein. So we're not going to publish it." So he thought he sent the book to Einstein. Einstein called him over, said, "Okay, I agree with your work." So he got the book published. That was like back about 1935.
Oh, okay.
Do you think Einstein was just a CIA prop figure or was a genius? What's your take?
He was just the media fraud.
Okay.
Scoundrel.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
all right, I agree with that. But you think Buckminster Fuller was the real deal, and that's why he was suppressed?
That's why now, I mean, I just watched the video. He got a dome. He went to Southern Illinois University. That's where I ran into him. So read Synergetics. Just you know, if you look, you can see some of the work I've done.
Where is your channel? Tell us where to find your work, Gord.
Bebob99 on YouTube.
All right, say it again because you cut yourself off. What's the name?
Dbob99.
D is in
Dbob.
Oh, G. Okay, Golf Bob 99. Golf Bob 99.
On YouTube. That's my channel.
Yeah, okay. Is this you here? Gbob 99 with 4 subscribers?
Oh, there it is.
Is this you? You see? Oh, you can't see the screen. Sorry.
Look at the one with the toothpick model hanging on the front porch.
Is this what we're looking at here? Is this your front porch?
Yep. Okay. If you see a toothpick model, the spherical one between two pillars.
No, I'm just looking at somebody's porch. That must not be you.
Oh, that's nothing.
Is that you?
It's like...
Oh, here we go. 7 sets of great circles. Is that you? Introduction to synergetic geometry. Is that you?
Yeah, I did that about 7 years ago. And I've been trying to do IRL, but I haven't found anybody that gives a fuck.
Okay. Okay.
I'm getting old in life, and I just want to give away my ideas for, you know, how to create a genius.
You are a bit of a genius?
Well, Bucky Fuller... He said, everybody's born a genius, and then you get de-geniused as you get older.
That makes sense.
Okay, no problem.
He was born blind, and when he was like kindergarten, the teacher gave him peas and toothpicks, and he built the tetrahedron, and all the kids made a cube. We used the cube to measure everything in our building.
I'll subscribe to your channel there. I'm subscribed.
Well, okay. I'm trying to get enough energy to put some of my basic work, you know.
All right. Well, that's good.
Circles and stuff like that. Hoping that at this time in life.
How did you get interested in fakeology or fake nukes, Phil? How did that happen?
Oh, well, I was getting bored on the internet last fall.
Yeah.
And your 1122 one, I ran into it on iRabIT, you know that channel?
No, I do not.
Mm.
What is
He's on Odyssey.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
iRabIT. He had this show, Fakeologist, with Fake Nuke Phil, and I thought, great, somebody doing fake nuke stuff.
Okay. So you don't buy into the nuclear stuff?
I never say about nukes, if they really did what they're supposed to do, the sky would light up like the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
That's what I would expect.
Okay. iRabIT. So fake nukes. This guy pumps out a lot of material here. Wow. Wait, maybe that's...
Yeah, he's like a whole education. Virus stuff going back a few years.
Okay. So you're recommending this channel? I always like to see new channels. This is huge. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of just working on trying to get a book or something. My end of life stuff on my math ideas. I was hoping that other people would be doing it, but.
So you got a hold of us because you watched this channel. Okay, I gotcha. I'll put a link.
Yeah,
to this
that's how I saw. I saw fake news. Great.
Yeah. Well, that's why I called myself that. Nobody else called themselves that, so I said, oh, "Well, I'm going to trademark it. I'm going to take it as my own."
So what kind of radiation do you measure? What kind of counter?
Well, it was a Geiger counter for personal safety to make sure that the your environment is safe. That's how it was advertised on eBay. It's got some weird symbols on the
beta
display. It could be beta
particles.
So what I did was I just kind of filmed the display and I let the audience figure out what that is. I said, well, here's the display. I'm going to take the measurement here in Palm Springs before I go to Nevada. And then when I got to Nevada, it was lower than it was in Palm Springs. And I said, well, okay, so there's more radiation in Palm Springs than there is in Nevada. And so, and whatever that little, it's like a little omega symbol on the display. And it's got a 5-minute average. And so I would wait 5 minutes to get the average. And that's what I did. I still have it. If they ever try to pull a stunt around here, like some kind of a nuclear leak or something, I got my Geiger counter. I'll be on the spot, taking measurements. If they, but you know, they're doing other stunts. They're busy doing other stunts. And
so what's the model of that? What's that model of that machine? I'm just curious.
Do you have a Geiger counter yourself there, Gordon?
No, I studied radioactivity when I was in college. I had to use it and learn it 50 years ago.
And what's your take on it? Is it real? Can it really hurt you?
Well, if you eat it.
Well, Galen Weston ate it. Galen Windsor, right. Yeah.
What do you think of Galen Windsor?
It's highly amped. Like the amounts I use, they use more. I use iodine-125. When you go to the doctor, they give you I-131, but they were giving you more in a dose of that than I used. They're overprotective.
Okay. Do you believe in nuclear bombs?
No, I don't. That's why. Okay. Part of why Bucky Fuller, he wrote a book, Utopia or Oblivion. So he was heavily involved with the CIA.
Okay.
And the guy who wrote his book was a retired CIA.
Do you believe in nuclear power?
Well, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't exist.
I went down to our local nuclear power plant a few years ago, and they just took it out to the towers. I've read that it's a dump load or a load dump or whatever you call it.
A dump load, grounding. Right. Yeah, it's just for taking excess power and grounding it or boiling it off. Yeah, I just think it's a dump load facility, if it does anything.
Right, they're always threatening to close it, especially this one in the Byron nuclear plant.
They're all like that. They all have the same story. It's about to close. No, we can't afford to close it because we need the power, and it's real green, but mm-hmm. We don't know what to do with the waste, and that's a big controversy, so they pay truckers millions of dollars to send it into, of all places, New Mexico, into a big dump there, a special dump, and silos and coffins and sarcophagus. It's all a massive, massive scam. There's nothing happening there except extreme money fraud. That's all that is. It's not real.
Yeah, and they don't appear where you would expect them to appear. Like Hawaii has to import all of its fuel. And so you would expect Hawaii to have like two or three nuclear plants. So they wouldn't have to import so much fuel. And you'd also expect to see them in McMurdo Station down in Antarctica, where obviously we have to ship in so much fuel to McMurdo Station. Well, we should have a nuclear plant there. So we don't see the nuclear plants where we should expect to see them. And so they're usually near a place where they can dump load. We've got one here. When I go to Phoenix on the Interstate 10, I see the Palo Verde, a nuclear generating station out there in the middle of the Arizona desert. I mean, there's not a city anywhere nearby. And so it would lose all of its, if you're going to transport the electricity 50 miles or 100 miles to Phoenix, the nearest city, you're going to lose more than half your power, because the farther you transport it, the more power you lose. And so I don't know what's going on with that Palo Verde nuclear generating plant. It's just, I don't know why they put it where it is. And it's doesn't make much sense. But none of it makes sense. It never has from the beginning. So,
they got some new ones they're planning.
Yeah, but it's always in the plans. It's just a new new form of money.
Wyoming. You're going to be in Wyoming. Sodium. You're going to melt sodium or some nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all just nonsense, because I think power, especially hydropower, is basically free. And it's like anything else. If they can't make a lot of money at it, or it's plentiful, they have to figure out a way to make it scarce so they can jack up the price. It's pretty simple. Very, very simple. That's why they're getting rid of natural gas, because there's just too much of it. They can't make money. The price of natural gas is so low that it's pretty much free. It's just the distribution of it, really. The supply is almost infinite. And that's
and
a big
lawsuits to get to make the
and that's
transportation
a big,
system.
Well, that's where the money is. Or that's where the cost is, just moving it around. But that's why they've turned it into a big whatever the carbon scam is, where they say it releases too much carbon dioxide into the air. So they've made it a carbon no-no, basically, with their carbon scam. And by the way, I've been doing some deep diving into the whole carbon scam. If you go to my other blog, moreab.fakeologist.com, that's where I talk about other things other than fakery. And if you want to understand how they're going to build their world economy with their world carbon tax, Canada is at the forefront. They want to do us first. And these people are saying it's going to happen next year in Canada. Where they're
is that
gonna,
like a new kind of money?
It is. Well, what they're trying to do is put a value, create value on air. Like, I don't know if you remember in the old days, the old phrase, what are they going to tax? The air? Well, yeah, that's actually what they're going to do. And they call it carbon because they say CO2. Well, they have many words for it, CO2 or carbon. And they literally attach a value of carbon emissions to everything on Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's how they can incentivize or de-incentivize you to do certain things like eat meat, because they attach carbon values to that because the cows fart, allegedly, or burning natural gas. Well, they'll say that uses or emit so much CO2 and you have to pay a tax on that. And that's how they're going to stop you from using the things that they don't want you using. Because like I said, they can't really make money at certain commodities because there's too much of it. There's unlimited oil too, by the way.
Yeah. Whatever oil is, I don't think it's decomposed dinosaurs.
No, it's rotting vegetation.
Yeah.
And there's lots of that.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's how they attach.
Or it's been there for a long time,
but
in the earth. Time is gold theory.
Yeah, but if you want to understand the new currency, it'll be carbon. And a Canadian guy is on the forefront of this scam, Mark Carney. So look him up. He wrote a book on how to monetize carbon, and that's what it's all about. So sorry to say Canada's at the forefront, because this guy is allegedly going to be the new governor of North America.
The entire continent.
Absolutely.
I think the Netherlands, just they tax the cows for cow farts or something, car breath.
Yeah, but that's part of this.
$100 a cow.
But that's part of this. Like I just told you, to value carbon. Like they're taking a fake. I don't even believe in CO2, quite honestly. Like the whole idea about the different parts of air. I think air is air. I don't buy I don't believe into the whole O2, CO2, nitrogen. These are just models. But I think air is just air. But
you don't think they have a geometrical shape?
Well, I know. I just think the whole idea that air is 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen and 0.0 whatever it is CO2. It's another model. Anyway.
Well, scuba divers might have an issue with you. They might know. They might know a little more, but it's probably a model that's used to and it's helpful in. You know, formulating to get scuba divers down to a certain depth.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the story. That's all. How about I just leave it at that? There's something wrong with the story, like every story we're told. So anyway, I just wanted to bring up the whole carbon tax shell game. It's fairly complicated. If you really want a deep dive, they tell you what they're going to do. They write books on this topic. It's not a secret. but how they implement it is just going to be tricky. It's going to be a lot harder to implement it into the United States, but we'll see how it goes. It's definitely happening though. Well, you're
going to replace money somehow.
Oh yeah, it's going to be definitely a big. It's going to be a huge element of your digital currency. Your new digital currency is going to have many elements. It's going to have a carbon aspect. It's going to have a social credit aspect. It's very complicated. It's not going to be just money. It's going to be so many things. So anyway, I don't want to, there's a lot of material out there. I'm not the expert on it, but I can point you to experts and it'll blow your mind what's coming down the line if it happens.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're just raising our taxes. The cost of living has gone up by double in just the past couple, like 3 years. And I mean, all my neighbors are noticing the air conditioning bill is double than it was just a few years ago. The rent has gone through the roof.
Yeah, I hear it's quadrupled in some places in California.
Yeah,
I watch this guy named Dan and I allegedly. Uh-huh. Simon says, is water H2O? Peter and Pete's YouTube channel says, no, water is water. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like these models of what makes up certain things like air and water, they're just models. And yeah. I don't buy into them personally. Like how can you really prove that CO2 is in the air? How can you prove it's not good for humans? And how can you prove that it's creating this dome that's heating up the earth? How can you prove that man is responsible for causing extra generation of CO2? You can't prove any of it. So everyone is just buying into it on blind faith.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, the whole thing is just such a...
Maybe radiation is reflecting off all the bare spots on the earth. You know, like the prairie was taken out, deforestation.
Yeah.
Plants used to collect that energy. I mean, the glaciers are melting for whatever reason.
I don't think you can prove that either. So,
well, you know, some days here in Palm Springs, my sky gets filled up with contrails from the airplanes, and they spread apart and they actually make their own cloud layer. And it's all from airplanes. And I'm not going to call them chemtrails because people
it could be straight up pollution though.
But here's the thing, whether they be just ice particles, like what they tell us, It doesn't matter. It's doing something because it's reflecting the sunlight or it's trapping the heat inside the, like a blanket. And so those contrails are, if you're going to talk about the global warming and you're not going to include contrails into the conversation, well, then it's not an honest conversation. And that's what, and they always exclude the contrails have nothing to do with what's going on with the earth. It's like, well, I see it with my own eyes. They spread out and they make it their own cloud layer. That's not natural. And you know, but they never want to talk about them.
Well,
people want to throw stuff up in the atmosphere to block the sun.
Yeah. They've even said that they're going to do it on purpose. And they say it's going to help global warming if we put more contrails in the air.
I don't think man has any real effect over the great earth. I
mean, volcanoes have caused freezing periods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you believe, I don't know if that's true either, but anyway, Gordon, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
That's good.
I put a link to your channel in my show notes. So if anyone wants to look up Gordo's stuff, I put a link in the FAK928 show notes, which you can grab, Gordon, if you want, on fakeologist.blog. Check it out, buddy. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks for letting me on.
Yeah, no problem, Gordon.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. Gordon, my Geiger counter says FS 2011. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, I just want to look up and see. Basically, you got alpha particles, you got beta radiation.
Okay.
And you should be able to know what kind of stuff is out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, it didn't have a name brand on it.
Be that, you ever been that Kerr McGee place that,
I would
that put, woman in I'd Oklahoma.
Put it in your microwave and see what it reads. That would be interesting.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that right tomorrow for a show. Yeah.
Thanks, Gordon.
Thanks, Gordon.
Take care. Bye bye. Then go find some magic rocks they call uranium. See what happens. But, yeah. I just don't buy it. You know, once you know you've been lied to so dramatically, it's really hard to buy any of this crap that we can't test, we can't see. It's all on blind faith, and I mean blind. We get the blind leading the blind everywhere.
Yeah, and it's really low quality Hollywood special effects. It's not high quality stuff. They're using old fashioned, like in Gaza, they're using old fashioned fake blood. They're using just camera tricks, and it's nothing spectacular. They're not using AI. They're using a little bit of CGI when they add the missile into the frame, and a little bit of CGI. When sometimes they show like these Palestinians that are walking and they get blown up by a bomb, and they do a little splice. They do a video splice, and then they add in the explosion. But it's just old-fashioned trickery, camera trickery, and so nothing really.
Haven't we run out of buildings in Gaza by now?
I know, it's just so dumb.
It's not that big, is it?
Yeah, I know. It's been going on for 80 years. It's a 20-mile stretch of land, and they just can't get it done. In 80 years, we just can't fix this problem. It's like, that's because you don't want to fix it, because this is a hustle for you. This is a street hustle. And it is getting ridiculous at this point. And so that's why I'm really trying to stab this thing in the heart, you know, make it so it never sees the light of day ever again. And also because it's so easy, because they give me all these videos every day and just for free. And it's like, and they've gotten so lazy and they're all so fake. And it's like, wow, I just take my selection of the first four, and there's my work for the day is done. You know, they've just given me my four episodes for the day. And so, you know, so at this point it's easy to expose. And so I'm just kind of, people's cognitive dissonance, I'm getting really violent, or trolls are getting very, they're swarmy. They're getting more swarmy. Right? Yeah. And so they don't like the fact that I'm exposing this Gaza thing. And so, that means it just makes me want to expose it more, because if these guys don't like it, well, then that means I must be over some kind of a target. And so
what's your takeaway on the Southport thing over there in jolly old England? I didn't look into it at all. What's your,
So here it is. I mean, I guess it's been going into more than a week of riots. This kid is an actor. He was in a commercial just 6 years ago. He had a bright future in commercials. And so he's going to throw his life away and just go stab random kids with a kitchen knife, just to throw his life away. It's like he had a bright, I've never been in a commercial my entire life. This kid has already been in a commercial. He had a bright future in show business. So the whole story, as soon as I heard the story, I knew it was fake, because a 17-year-old kid does not go into a Taylor Swift dance studio and just slash random strangers with a kitchen knife. It's just stupid.
I think a couple of parents might put an end to that fast.
Yes. And, you know, he weighs like 98 pounds. It's like
you could pull over.
The two adults in the room could have just easily stopped him. It's playing upon the racist emotion. Well, I don't like to call the English racists, because they are being invaded. They're being replaced in their own country, and any person would not want to be replaced in their own country. And so that it's not racism when you don't like your country being taken away from you. But what the English don't understand is that their own government is doing it to them. It's not the foreigner. I mean, these foreigners should have never left their country. They should have stayed in their country, but they're
purposely brought in. So
they're given these packages. They're giving they're saying, hey, we can move you to England and we'll give you an apartment. We'll give you a job. We'll give you all this. And
the job thing is a real thing here, by the way. I'm just learning how deep it is. Our government has this thing called the Temporary Foreign Worker Program. They pay up to 70% of temporary foreign worker salary. So they're taking the jobs away from our young people.
Yeah.
Because if you're an employer, are you going to pay 100% of the wage? Are you going to let the government pay 70% if they bring in a foreign worker? I think that's a pretty easy choice, don't you?
Yeah. So of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is happening. That's a real thing, unfortunately. So I'm guessing they're doing similar things in England and Australia and all the other Five Eyes nations. I don't know about the United States, but maybe.
Well, yeah, all of our, they're owning all these 7-Elevens and Circle K's.
Yeah, but so, is your government actually paying the workers a good chunk? I'd look into that.
Well, the immigration is not as they portray it on Fox News. On Fox News, they portray it as there's all sneaking across the border. And I think that's a psyop. I don't believe anything that Fox News is telling me. I think but I can tell that we're being overrun with immigrants. But I think they're being
flown in. How are they getting in? Yeah.
I think they're getting flown in first class on airplanes, and they're going right straight to a hotel, straight to an apartment that's ready for them. And so these stories that come out from time to time of all these immigrants in the back of a semi truck, and like 40 immigrants are suffocated in the back of a semi truck. I think those stories are fake also. They're designed to steer you off track as to how exactly these people are getting into our country. And also to stir up sympathy for them, because it's like, oh, how horrible that they got stuffed in this semi truck and they all suffocated to death.
Here's the bridge in El Paso, the Paso del Norte Bridge. Looks kind of quiet. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
These are live webcam shots, by the way. Anyone can go look at them.
Oh, okay.
Where's everybody sneaking in? I know there's a lot of commercial traffic. There's no doubt about that. The trucks are probably always jammed up.
Yeah, that looks like the border crossing down in Tijuana here where I live.
Yeah, this is Zaragoza. This is all around El Paso. So there's a few people walking over, and there's some nice girls there walking over.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is the border being crashed?
Yeah, it's the Tijuana border is just like so busy every single day. It's
probably a lot of commercial traffic. That's why.
Yeah, people who live in Tijuana then go to work in San Diego, and they just come back every. Some people do it every day. They just come back and forth every day. So I've talked to people down there, and they have to wait in line to get across, and it's.
I'm just looking for clues that the border is being crashed by. Illegal immigrants. I'm not seeing anything there. Maybe I'm just looking probably at the wrong place. There's probably a tidal wave of people coming over. We just can't see it.
Oh, all those caravans that are coming up from Guatemala. You see all these long caravans. It's like, where do those people go to the bathroom? I mean, who's feeding those people as they're walking up through, the vast trek through Mexico up, where do they sleep at night? I think those caravan things are a psyop. That's not how they're getting in. If you told somebody in Guatemala, hey, go ahead and walk through Mexico and walk up to the border, we'll let you into America, they would say, forget it. Where am I gonna sleep? Obviously,
yeah, they need a pretty good reason to come here. So I think they have, I said, subsidized low wage jobs. That Americans we don't even have the opportunity to do them because they're being subsidized away. So, yeah, I think we're being, like always, we're just being fed a line of crap all day long, and Hiroshima and Gaza and fake wars. And it's just, it all ties together, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're chipping away at the stone. We're going to try to find a weakness in the armor is what we're trying to do. And I guess we'll just keep doing it. Maybe we'll succeed. Maybe we won't. But you know what? We'll just take it one hoax at a time and just do the best we can.
We had a big boost with the Trump thing, but that boost's already worn off.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of cracked a few people's skulls. Some people, a lot of people saw that was fake, but they just didn't want to deal with the implications. They didn't want to deal with the deeper, because if they faked it, that means the Secret Service was involved in it. That means the local police was involved in it. That means the media was involved in it. And they just don't want to go that deep. It's like a lot of people knew that Trump faked it, but they just didn't want to analyze the deeper implications. It's just too much for their brain to handle. And they just shrug it off and say it's a crazy world. And they just go to their next thing.
If you can't even hold the people's attention for a month for a presidential, former presidential attempted assassination, what else can you do? What else is there? I mean, really, come on. I know.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good psyop, but I think Trump stopped playing along with it less than a week later. He didn't even leave the Band-Aid on. I think he could have left the Band-Aid on for a few more weeks. What do you think?
I know. We said that the very day it happened. We said, what's Trump going to do when the public sees that his ear is not injured? Because we knew that he would not have any injury to his ear. And sure enough, 2 days later, we all learned that he had no injury to his ear. And we were saying it the exact same day that it happened, that what's he going to do? And it turned out we got our answer. He didn't have to do nothing. He just showed his ear and just nobody even said anything about it. It's like, dude, there's no freaking bullet hole in that ear.
And well, we said it.
Yeah, we said it, but that's how he got away with it. He just simply took off his Band-Aid and just said, screw it. And the media covered for it, because no major media outlet even ran a show saying, hey, how come Trump's ear is not damaged? Because CNN, Fox News, all the media outlets are drawing cover for this hoax that happened there in Butler, Pennsylvania. And they're all pretending that it was real. And that's why. And so when you have no major media outlet exposing the fact that his ear is perfectly fine, well, then nobody's going to pay any attention to it. They're just going to.
And shame on all the mainstream alternative truthers for just going on and on and on about all the shooters and the angles and the dangles.
Yeah.
And I like to report, I got a blister on the inside of my middle finger from trying to start my chainsaw, because it was a brand new chainsaw and I had to pull at least 100 times. And I skinned even with gloves on, and I wore a Band-Aid for a week.
Yeah,
until it healed over, because it was in a sort of a busy place on my finger. So that's a week, and that's not a bullet. That's not
that's not shrapnel.
That's from pulling a chainsaw.
String.
It just wore a. I didn't even feel it at the time until I was all done. So, yeah, that needed at least a week to heal.
Oh, sure.
And you're a handyman. You probably injure yourself all the time. And it's,
you
got to leave the Band-Aid on so it heals. Otherwise, you're just going to injure it again.
Oh, especially at my age. Yeah, it takes, 2 weeks for any kind of, 2 weeks for any kind of injury to heal. And that's with Neosporin and Band-Aids and everything.
Yeah, I put that on too. Polysporin there. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah,
you got to leave it on if you want it to heal. So
yeah,
you Trump had your ear almost blown off.
Yeah, Trump didn't even need Neosporin.
I think you might have to take some time off, even from your golf game, if that happened. Even the shotgun blast, even the blowout sound to your ear, your ear would probably be ringing for a while. But no, not this guy. He's superhuman. He's God protected.
Oh, that's what some of the Trump supporters are saying. They're saying that it was divine intervention that saved Trump's life. And that is just, oh my gosh. They really did go there. They really did.
And, anyway, we've been going about an hour. You got anything else you want to bring up? Did I forget anything? Did I cut you off at all?
No, we covered it pretty good.
Did we respond to Miles Mathis enough? For you, I know you did a whole video. It's 9 minutes.
Miles, some people are thinking that you're a committee, and so it would be nice if you could call in. We do this show every Wednesday, and you can call in and rest our minds that you're actually a real person and not a committee.
And you got good stuff. Like I like your essays. I put a link to them. I don't pretend to be you. None of that. So I just put a straight up link because I think you're totally right on most of the stuff that I'm interested in. I don't read everything, so I'm not interested in everything. So, and I don't think Phil is. I don't think Phil mentions you enough to really cause you any kind of damage either.
Yeah, I mostly, you know, agree with his nuclear analysis and all the Manson analysis and the JFK analysis. And but it's where World War II is where we have our differences. And but, you know,
that's okay.
We can hash those out, too.
Yeah. All right, Phil, thanks for coming on and thanks for updating us. And everyone go to Fake Nukes. Phil's channel and his, I have an email forwarding service for Phil at fakeologist.com. Phil is not afraid to answer any of his critics. That's for sure. Phil does not run away from criticism, and actually you're pretty good about it. You don't really get too angry if somebody is criticizing you. You know, we don't agree personally on every single thing, but I think we get the general idea. We're pretty good about, so.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we just most of it we agree on, so we just go forward. We just sort it out.
Exactly. And Phil and Jim can come back if he wants anytime. Hopefully he's getting better.
Yeah,
we can talk about World War II and his other topics, as long as it's not about the Catholic Church and Christianity. I can deal with it.
Yeah, we stay away from religious controversies here.
Although his Jehovah's story is pretty interesting. He did a video on that.
Oh, okay, I've heard that before.
That's quite the cult. My goodness.
Yeah.
That's a problem with all these organizations. Like, if you disagree, you're out. You are out. You speak against the leaders, you're out.
So yeah.
That's why I don't belong to any clubs, any groups, any cults. Mm-hmm. And I don't even want followers in that sense. Like, I don't speak for other people that listen to this channel. And just because I don't think Phil has followers that have to think like him. We all are independent. Like, Phil has his own channel. I have my own platform. So that's the best way to be.
That's right. Yeah.
Be independent.
Just throwing these ideas out and bouncing them off.
We're not part of any movement. We're not trying to start a militia. None of that. We're just trying to tell you that the world is not very scary, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are being run by gangsters, but these gangsters rule the world with media events, and nobody's dying in these media events. They're MK Ultra. They make us think we live in a violent world, but it's not. And it's part of the brainwashing. And that's why we got to break the MK Ultra brainwashing.
Yeah, we got to break the trauma-based mind control. And now, if anyone's dying, it's not the people they say are dying. If people are dying, it's not the ones they put in the media and put big stories out on. It's people you don't hear about, I think. You want to go see dying, go to a nursing home. There's lots of dying going there, I know. We visit my mother-in-law. My wife goes every day, and there's always a story once a week. Somebody's missing from the dining room table. So those are real stories.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but they're also in their 90s, so that's what happens.
Yeah. We should be so lucky to make it that far. Yeah.
Exactly. And they're not interesting stories, you know. Somebody falls and goes to the hospital and doesn't come back out. That's usually the way they take care of you.
Yeah.
And they don't make the front page, which is
never the front page.
No. And they're not doing interviews either, or their daughters or granddaughters. Yeah, that's how you can tell it's probably real.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Fakeologist. Yeah, keep it up.
All right.
We'll see you next week. All right.
Next week, same time, same bat place.
All right.
Okay,
see ya.
There goes Fake Nukes, Phil. Phil at fakeologist.com. Don't forget, this is value for value. If you like this show, pay what it is worth to you. fakeologist.com/donate. Yes, the website works again, and we'll take $1, $2, whatever you think the value is you got out of it. We've got hours and hours of podcasts. Just look on your favorite podcast player, Fakeologist Audio Chats, Fakeologist Show. They're two different feeds. They're all there. It's all free. There are no paywalls. You can get it all There's tons of material, tons of listening material, lots of good videos. I mirror a lot of stuff on FakoTube. That costs a lot of money. Your money mainly goes to keep that platform going. Thanks, everyone. Tomorrow is Thursday. I'm not sure who will be here. Maybe Frank. Who knows will be here. Sometimes we get guests at the last minute. If you want to come on the show and tell your story, you are welcome to. Just send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com. And don't forget, we have password key entry into the blog now. Yeah, you can log in with your fingerprint. No, we don't store the fingerprint. The fingerprint's a private key on your own phone or your own computer. It's just a really cool way to log into websites now. You don't need passwords. And I recommend it. We're just trying it out. Something fun, something different. And that's it. Thank you all, and have a pleasant rest of your time. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.